If anybody needs a handout sheet, I have a couple. Can you raise your hand if you don't have a handout sheet, please? Okay, everybody has one? Okay, good. I'm glad everybody has one. So we're not going to get to the handout yet. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 4 again. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to remind you of what we reminded you of last week, of my position as pastor and teacher here at Bethel. I've been given the role by God to bless you with teaching that will, according to verse 12 of Ephesians 4, perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that henceforth we be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, wherein they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So my job as the pastor is to, if you will, equip you with teaching that will equip you and perfect you and complete you in the work that God has called you to do. Each one of you have a calling to do for the glory of God and how he has equipped you and how he has gifted you. And we want to start a disciple-making series here at Bethel, or I want to. And I just want to explain it today so everybody understands where we're going and what the purpose of this is. So I decided to make a handout for you. Our goal at Bethel Baptist is disciple making by all believers. All right? That means if you're a Christian here, I want you to be making disciples of others. That is our goal. And I do believe as we equip ourselves and we become serious about this, God will give us the opportunity to do so within the context of the church, but also in the context of your everyday lives where he's called you to work and where he's called you to minister. What does it mean to be a disciple making by all believers? Well, it means, first of all, making disciplers of people of all gifts. All right, so each one of you have different gifts. Some may be in a more corporate context of teaching. Some may be in an individual context of teaching, but all of you are gifted to do something for the equipping of others to know what Christ has done for them, for making a relationship with Jesus real and understood to everyone so they increasingly, first of all, worship him in all of life, are transformed by him in all of life, obey him in all of life, disciple all people to do the same. Does that sound like a good goal for us at Bethel Baptist Church? To worship him personally in all of our life, see him transform us by the reading of the word and by the developing of our spiritual nature and the yielding to that development as God shows us things we need to release to him. To, as he builds us in this faith, to obey him in our lives, and then to disciple others to do the same. If we did that as a church, we'd be active, busy for the glory of the Lord. I also want to push that disciple making can happen within a relational structure. Are you investing in somebody in a deep relationship? Do you have deep relationships outside the context of the church? Are you building deep relationships inside the context of the church? Contextualizing truth for transformation. Let's go to Deuteronomy I wanted to show you this verse so you would understand exactly what I'm saying. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Now, of course, this is in the context of Israel and how they're to develop their children. And we have the great statement by God in verse number 4 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And here's the contextualizing of this truth. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." So you sit down to dinner, you're sitting and you're relaxing. What are you to be focusing on with your children? Telling them that the Lord our God is one Lord. And that we should love the Lord with our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're to teach our children in the context of sitting in the house. We're to teach our children when thou walkest by the way, when we're out and about at different things and we see different things that come up. We are to consciously be teaching them how we should apply ourselves to certain things and how we shouldn't apply ourselves to certain things, because we want to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. What else? When thou liest down and when thou risest up. Every part of our lives should, in a parent's mind, be contextualized to teaching Scripture. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. So all that your hand does is to do with the mindset of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Everything that you look at should be within the context of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. All your writing and your house and on your gates should be about what? Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So how do we develop a love for God that touches every area of our lives? Well, it's a silly illustration, but you that have been married a long time know that the longer you're married, the more you understand how to love your spouse, correct? You also understand how to irritate your spouse the longer that you live with them. So what do? The more you know someone, the more you know how to serve someone, right? The more we know God, the more we long to serve God. See, sometimes we get this mixed up and we try to serve God before we know God. And that never works. So back to our notes. So we saw that disciple making within a relationship structure means investing in deep relationships, means contextualizing truth for transformation, means discipling step by step towards maturing in Christ, means empowering mission involvement. We need to be empowering each other in mission involvement. All right, let me give you a small way that this is happening in Bethel. When a new person comes to Bethel and I see them, guess what I'm already starting to try to develop with them? A friendship and a time that we can meet. Everybody gets, if I have the time, and I should probably tell everybody that comes for the first time needs a Who is God's booklet. And I'll explain what that is later. And right after that, I'm talking to them to try to set up a meeting either at their house or have them over to my house to have coffee with them. And the first thing I'm doing is asking them if they would like to learn more about God, and then explaining the first lesson of established to them, introducing them to the Bible. Why? Because we want to work with people so they know the person that we worship. And that's so important that we are busy explaining the gospel to others in a systematic way that starts at the beginning. All right? I'm going to hit that because that's the way God has been leading me. If you do discipleship and evangelism in a different way, fine. But Pastor James has been given I have been given the responsibility of leading this church in a direction of evangelism. And I am convinced by the Holy Spirit that the way we should do evangelism is starting in the beginning. All right? I hope I'm not coming across as mean or cocky. I'm trying to come across as confident that this is what God would have us to do as a church. Are you building relationships? Is there a relationship of openness, acceptance, trust, learning, understanding, and serving one another? We believe in discipling people foundationally. I think Dave Wright explains it so well in his introduction to his Equipping A book when he says, many Canadian believers have a fragmented view of God and the Bible. They have heard bits and pieces of biblical truth throughout their lives, but do not have a cohesive understanding or connective or glue understanding of how the entire Bible fits together. As a result, much of the truth about who God is ends up lost or misunderstood, resulting in little impact in everyday living and therefore on their ability to make disciples. And let me stop and say this. We that have standards and we that believe and hold to strong standards without a personal relationship with God, we're just as guilty as the loose so-called Christians that live their life according to whatever they feel is accepted. Our service for God must be connected to our relationship with God. And if I'm not teaching that in a proper way, in a way that people can understand, then we are failing as Christians. Establish is a foundational disciple-making series that begins in Genesis and ends in Revelation. It provides a step-by-step journey so that all people are established in Christ and empowered to make disciples. I'm not going to read the little print. If you guys get the book and I'll explain what the plan is at the end of the service, you'll have all of these little charts that you can look at. Establish seeks to cut through the confusion by using multiple resources to tie the whole of God's word together, thereby revealing the grand picture of God's story or God's history. I probably will change that word to history. It's not just a story or a fairy tale. It's his history. Now, when I talk to people, I state truths up front. I tell them that I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I tell them that I believe God created the world by speaking it into existence. I tell them that I believe that the God that I worship and serve is explained in the Bible, and so are we explained in the Bible in our desperate need for God. Do you see, let me stop here. Do you see why a personal relationship of God must be established before we're trying to produce works out of people? If your works are not connected to God, what are they connected to? Well, they're connected to flesh and a lie. Contrasting truth with worldviews. Oh, we get ourselves in trouble in teens sometimes. Why? Because we are contrasting what the Bible says to what the world says. And not everybody in teens likes that. We sometimes, while we're studying it, contrast our beliefs to what the Bible says, and we have to repent. Addressing the whole person in relation to scriptural truth. What does that mean? That means engaging mind. That means engaging emotion. And that means engaging will. We're not just trying to teach intellectually. We're trying to see, and there are some lessons. You can ask John, Catastrophe 3. That's a hard lesson, isn't it? You feel, I'm a Christian, and I feel like I'm punched in the gut every time I teach that lesson. It's about what sin means. And when you think that sin causes us to be spiritually dead and separated from our only source of life, when you consider that sin makes us in bondage to Satan, when you consider that sin makes us under the wrath of God, that touches you emotionally. That just doesn't touch your mind. It touches your emotions and it drives your will to reject belief in yourself and accept God's only plan of deliverance. We are focusing on our call to be disciple makers. We must remember that God has desires for us. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, we see a desire of God. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that, and in bold, this is his desire, they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Isn't that good? That's God's desire for us. That's God's desire for humankind, mankind. It's God's desire that we would have his abundant life, and not just little drips of it, but we would experience it today in its full power and its transforming awesomeness. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, we see again a desire of God. As we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. All right, so he desires us to walk in faith and repentance, trusting in his grace and mercy to supply our need to do his will. And what will happen when we're walking in such a way, depending on his grace and mercy through a heart of humility and looking through that heart of humility towards repentance and faith in him? Well, it will root and build us up in him. Isn't that good? God desires for us to be built in him. How much when we read the Bible is it just to find out the do's and don'ts? Which isn't wrong. I'm not saying that's wrong. We should obey the do's and don'ts of the Bible. But is there a desire to have a personal relationship in him and be built in him instead of ourselves? If we're just performance-based Christians, it's all about us and very little about him. This is not a performance-based curriculum that we're using. It's a relationship to build a personal relationship with God. And established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 18 through 20, it gives us another of God's desire. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So we have a responsibility as men Christians and women Christians to do what? Teach. And we have a perfect opportunity in London because all nations are coming to us. And we're trying to teach God's way to them. When we take this serious, we have very little time for anything else. You have responsibilities, work, taking care of your finances. I'm saying we have very little time for stuff that really doesn't matter at the end of the day, that we just do to amuse ourselves. There's very little time to get wrapped up in looking at the wrong things when you're busy working for the Lord. Let's not be apathetic about this. Let's not be lackadaisical about this. Let's not be nonchalant and c'est la vie about this. Whatever happens, happens. That's not God's will for us. God's will is that we take this serious. Church, are we taking this serious? I'm doing a little bit of preaching here. Are you taking your job to teach people seriously? Are you equipping yourselves to go out to the type of world that we live in and explain a gospel to a non-Christian community? Because that's what we live in, a non-Christian community that understands very little about God, and the little bit they would be able to say about God has nothing to do with the Bible. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let me stop here before you turn the page. That's why our discipleship doesn't stop at when people confess Christ. No, we build them in their security in Christ. We build them in what a disciple looks like. We build them in their unity with Christ. We build them in the church structure and the gifts that they use in the church structure. We build them in church leadership. We build them in end times and how we're supposed to read and what it's supposed to do to us and encourage us in. Page 3. We see the pattern of discipling in action with the life of Christ and sending out the 12. Right? Christ would teach the crowds, wouldn't he? But he would also take 12 and intimately teach them deeper knowledge of himself. Why? Because he knew that they would be the ones that would carry the message out to a lost and dying world. We also see and in the life of Paul with Timothy and Titus and many of the first century saints, developing relationships with people, working with people, being heartbroken by people, but never stopping in their endeavor to see God through his word change lives. I believe that there is a pattern that Christ used that we are trying to model. Dave Wright explains in Equipping on page 8 and 9, the truth of God's word and what it means to live abundantly in Christ is taught in a life in community and life on life discipleship. The life on life relationship then furthers challenges a disciple to live out truth so that the hearts are transformed and empowered to go out in life on mission. So life in community, a foundational step-by-step teaching of truth within a community. We believe that every believer is required to live and learn the truth within the body of Christ. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and verse 17 remind us, remember them which had the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. This life, the next step is a life on life, foundational step-by-step teaching of truths with a one-on-one relationship. We believe that every believer needs to be challenged to live out truth through a one-on-one relationship of accountability with another believer. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. We could go to Titus 2, right? In Titus 1 and 2, where we see the older women teaching the younger women, the older men teaching the younger men. Now, a mother and daughter relationship, that can happen. But if God blesses us with new people, that should be a mature Christian coming alongside and explaining the Bible to a person that may not even know Christ yet, right? I don't need you to answer this, but can I ask a kind of personal question? When a new person comes into this church, do you ever think to yourself, I need to build a relationship that goes beyond these 1, 2, 3, 4 walls? Have you ever thought about inviting somebody out for coffee and sharing your faith through the Bible with them? You say, I can't trust them to come into my house. That's fine. People like to meet at Tim Hortons. Meet at Tim Hortons. It can't just, if God blesses us, it just can't be your pastor doing all the work. You understand that? I can't invite every new person that comes into church and get into a 60-hour Bible study with them on week-to-week basis. We need to do this as a church family. You say, Pastor James, make it faster. Well, I think God wants us to do work that is well-pleasing to Him. Not shoddy work, but good work that He can bless. Hebrews 12:13 reminds us, and make straight path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather be healed. So what is that saying to us, Christian? Man, on your life-to-life communication with others, you should be watching your character. You should be watching your conversation and what you talk about. You should be watching how you're behaving around others. Why? Because you want to point a straight path to Jesus Christ. That starts in creation and ends in Christ. You want to have order because we serve a God of order. You want to have consistency. Life on mission, foundational step-by-step equipping for ministry. We believe that every disciple should be involved in the proclamation of the gospel early on in their Christian walk, and that is, and this mission involvement will grow as they realize and exercise their spiritual gifts. Let's explain this last point at a more practical level. Life in community would be an example of this, would be inviting a believer or an unbeliever into an established one-on-one Bible study to develop an intentional relationship will lead to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. This should lead to a life-on-life accountability and eventually life-on-mission challenges. You probably invite them to church. We can't stop with inviting people to church today, guys. We don't live in the 1970s anymore in Canada. We live in a society that when they come in and hear me preach, they understand maybe a percent of what I'm talking about. I could be speaking in Swahili and the English-speaking people, that's how much they would understand. And I'm speaking in English, but it sounds like Swahili to them. Right? They don't understand. And I don't want an emotional acceptance of Christ when they don't even understand who God is. They don't even understand their helpless situation. So they just take God and plants them in his life because it's like a get-rich scheme. Oh, if I have God, he'll make me rich. Oh, if I add God to my other gods, maybe he'll help me. There are few pastors that are gifted enough to take somebody that's never heard about Christ and explain a gospel in a sermon and see that person make a decision for faith. And I'm sorry to tell you, I am not one of those gifted pastors. You did not hire a gifted pastor like Adrian Rogers that can just... that's one pastor I could be jealous of if I'm not careful with all the gifts he has. That's not me, guys. I'm just a simple person that tries to preach the word of God. That's it. And what I guess I'm trying to say is I need your help. I need your help to take seriously your responsibility to be disciples and disciplers for Christ. So life on life. This might include inviting a believer or unbeliever into a one-to-one discovery of the Bible. We have this Who is God's booklet that we can go through with them that highlights God in a very special way. If you'd like one of these, please let me know. I need to talk to Kevin. We'll tell you at the end of the sermon what the plan is. Life on Mission. This is geared to believers and would include inviting them to join you to existing ministries to integrate them into discipling cycle. This should lead to increasing life and community relationships as well as life on life accountability. So what is this? So I'm calling people to come alongside me, help me teach. There might be a time that I say, hey, I need you guys to teach this section to the teens. Or why don't you guys come along with me to one of my house visits at this time and help me teach this point to the house visit that I'm doing as we're working through the Bible, right? That's important that we do this together. This is in context of you as Christians saying, God, who do you want me to work with in a life-on-life context, one-on-one context? God, what is your desire for where I fit in life and community in the church context? Right? Some people say, I don't like to teach big groups. Fine. Start with little ones. Start with a one-on-one conversation with somebody. Speak to them. I could never do that. Yes, you can. You can do that. We believe in disciple making by all believers, making disciples of people of all gifts, making a relationship with Jesus real and understood to everyone so they increasingly worship him in all of life, are transformed by him in all of life, obey him in all of life, and disciple other people to do the same. Disciple making within a relational structure, investing in deep relationships, again, contextualizing, and this is a repeat, contextualizing truth for transformation, discipling step by step towards maturing in Christ, empowering mission involvement, relationship of an openness, acceptance, trust, learning, understanding, and serving. Disciple making involves the active, intentional teaching of truth so the hearts are transformed, beliefs are challenged, faith is shared, and accountability is embraced. It should result in disciples who are equipped and eager to make more disciples. Establish one-on-one primary truths. This section lists the fundamental truths that will be covered in the 101 lessons. If you wonder what 101 is, if you keep your finger there and turn to page 1 on that stage of spiritual development, you see gospel foundations. That's 101, all right? but he understands that is 101. And I'll show you the books in just a minute. So, back to page, I'm sorry, I said page 5, it's page 4. 101 declares the authority of God's word, who God is, humanity's sinful position before God, and God's rescuing by grace through their repentance and faith in the finished work of Christ. It helps us discover the Bible, that it's God's word. God has declared himself openly through his word, the Bible. God inspired specific people to write his word or history or his story so we can know him. The Bible is complete and not to be added to. The Bible, not what humanity thinks or feels, is our, and if you want to put only authority, that's fine, but I put final authority. God is sovereign ruler over everything and ultimate owner over everything. God is eternal without beginning or end. God is everywhere present at all times. God is one yet Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It teaches in 101, God is all-seeing and all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God is absolutely holy. God is merciful and gracious. God is complete, good, and unchanging. God is purposeful and faithful in all that he does and allows. Humanity is made in God's image. Humanity is made for a relationship with God. Humanity is given the ability to make choice. Humanity has inherited a sinful nature from Adam, and all are sinners against God. Humanity is separated from God because of their broken relationship. Humanity is helpless by themselves to make themselves holy and acceptable to God. Humanity will pay their sin debt against God by eternal separation from the Lord in the lake of fire. We teach that. We say that plainly. Every man is on his way to the lake of fire without repentance and faith in God's only way. We say that. Am I telling a story, Mr. John? We say that over and over, don't we? Over and over. Satan and demons. Satan is an angel. It probably should be Lucifer as an angel created by God. He is not an eternal being. Satan rose up in pride and rebelled against God. Demons are angels who join Satan in rebellion against God. Satan is the source of the first sin. Satan is at war with God and seeks to destroy humanity, God's image bearers. Satan is a deceiver and is the father of lies who manipulates humanity towards sin. Satan and his demons are powerful, but not all powerful like God. Satan and his demons can move quickly, but are not everywhere present like God. Satan and his demons are not all-knowing and all-seeing like God. It's very encouraging to know that God is way more powerful than Satan, infinitely more powerful than Satan. The deliverer was first promised in Eden after Adam and Eve disobeyed God. The deliverer is fully God and fully man. The deliverer is God and not a descendant of Adam. Thus, he is absolute holy. The deliverer is humanity's sole rescuer from Satan. God's wrath, sin, and the lake of fire. The deliverer makes a way for humanity to be restored to abundant life, both presently and for all eternity. We're talking about repentance and faith. Humanity can come to God only by his plan and enablement. Humanity will be accepted by God only through personal repentance and faith in the deliverer, Jesus Christ, who died for humanity's sin, was buried, and rose again. So this is the first scope and sequence. In 101, you have two books, Discipler 1 book, in Discipler 2 book. This is the teacher's manual that you teach through, and you can read the lessons. You don't have to, you need to pray and read through the lessons, but you can pray and read the lessons. One person that I'm discipling right now, she reads all the lesson, and I just stop and ask, do you understand this? And give little illustrations to help them understand more. It's all about how the Holy Spirit leads you. But I do think that this is very well done, way better than I could ever do, as far as explaining truth. So the first book in 101, Discipler Book 1, goes through creation and catastrophe. So in creation, we have an introduction and timeline. The truth that we explain in the first lesson is foundational Bible teaching, lays a solid foundation, leads us from beginning to end. Will you all read through this for me? Because I'm running out of time. Can you read through this and see what's in it? Because it's really good. I mean, I've gotten through Covenant 7 I'm teaching tomorrow to one of our groups. So we've gotten through a big majority of this. But it's really well done, and these will all give you great help in how to teach through these truths and what they teach through. And then there's some helpful advice for how to work with the people you're working with, some things to check yourself on, personally studying God's Word. Does your life give evidence of a love for God's Word and a commitment to living out His truth in every area of your life? So some things that will inspire you to check your own life and see how you're doing. What I'd like to do is and I'll give you more details exactly what this will look like next Wednesday. From Tuesday to Monday of next week, I'm gone picking up my mom from Idaho. So pray for safety for that. But Pastor Unger is going to preach Wednesday night, and Ron is going to preach Sunday morning, and then Pastor Unger is going to preach the second service for me. So we're looking forward to that. I'm going to be preaching at a couple of churches, and my brothers and Pastor Whitaker's in Idaho, so be praying for me. And then when I get back, what I'd like to do, if you would like Discipler 1 and Discipler 2 book, we'll have a sign-up sheet for you. And all that I'm asking is, and this is why I have to talk to Kevin, all I'm asking is for you to pay for the cost of the material, all right? If you want an equipping A book, the same thing, the cost of material. So I have a sign-up sheet for anybody that would like to be taught and have a Discipler 1 and 2 book to go through, to read through, and share with each other. And I'll give more details as I'm gone for the next week, and I'm going to try to plan all of this out. I've been extremely busy because right now we have people that speak different languages that need me to do the structural work, and then they do the final work of putting it into their native languages. So the pastor's busy with this, and I love it. I'm thankful for the opportunity to get paid to do something I love and desire to do. Thank you for that, Bethel Baptist Church, for giving me the privilege through the leading of God to be able to teach people the Word of God. And I will get more into it. So I have a sign-up sheet. I got to talk to Kevin about the cost of material. And then if you'd like these three books, just sign up and we'll make copies for it. And then I'll go into more detail once I get back of what that all will look like. But on my Wednesday nights, I'm going to be preaching through Equipping A. Okay? So in a week from now, we're not going to be YouTubing this Wednesday night service because I'm going to be using the projector, because he's done a lot of really nice PowerPoints that we can go through. And then I'll have little handout sheets for everybody if I have time to make them during the week. Okay? Any questions? Is it clear as mud then? I leave on Tuesday. Monday. So. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done. We just praise you for your word. And we just pray that you would use it in our hearts to change us to be more like you so we can be the proper image bearers of you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Prayer.